Are you more likely to adopt a child or knock an old lady down the stairs?
I have
two children, so now I have no choice but to just knock a couple old ladies down the stairs. My decision was made for me.
Don't look at us.
Yeah. Well, I don't see old ladies. I see a couple bitches with that big clit energy.
That's right.
Get it, Nick Kroll.
Welcome to Bitch Talk. I'm your host, Erin, here with my co-host, Ange, a.k.a. Captain Party. And over the last 10 years, we've been elevating marginalized voices through interviews and events.
Sometimes over a glass of whiskey. If you're thirsty for more bitches, head over to bitchtalkpodcast.com and follow us on Instagram.
A big thank you to 48 Hills and our listeners for voting us Best of the Bay Best Podcast in 2022 and 2023.
And now, on with the show.
Welcome to our South by Southwest 2024 Film Festival coverage. Today we're talking about one film called I Don't Understand You with two sets of interviews. One is with the founders of Pinky Promise. It's the company that actually produced the film I Don't Understand You. And then we have the red carpet with actors like Nick Kroll. Enjoy.
Welcome back to South by Southwest. Now we are covering officially one of our favorite movies because we come to all your events.
Yeah.
I Don't Understand You. And we're sitting down with two of the film's producers. Can you introduce yourselves for the audience?
I'm Kara Durrett.
I'm Jessamine Burgum.
Awesome. And who wants to start? One of you can introduce the film to our audience.
Yeah. We have an insane movie. It's like the best way to describe it. It's called I Don't Understand You. I love the title because it is exactly that. I think people are shocked when they see it. They're not expecting it, which is what I hope happens. And the reviews have been positive. Should I tell you like what it's about?
The spiel?
Sure, just
the
spiel. I'll do a brief spiel. It's a gay couple that's going to Italy to kind of celebrate their 10-year anniversary. They're trying to adopt a baby, and they get their car stuck in a ditch and kind of fear takes over is what I would say.
It's very silly and sometimes spooky.
Yeah, it's meant to be camp
the whole
and fun,
thing is fun.
All
yeah.
The things the people who take it too seriously, I'm like, well, you didn't get it, so it
wasn't for you anyway.
Yeah. Taking what seriously? The only thing I took seriously were those pizzas.
Yes.
And I want some.
The pizzas were good. They were,
yes.
And the real ones were good too.
Yeah,
so
you two started a production company.
Yes.
In during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Like Deep pandemic.
Okay.
So I did want to ask, I mean, that was a challenging time in the world, but it's still a challenging time in the world, especially in the entertainment industry, film, TV, because of the strike last year.
Yeah.
We were at Sundance and now we're here and we are hearing from people. It's really hard to find a job. It's hard to pitch things. It's just hard to get in.
So you've had really happy, positive interviews.
Yes. Yes.
Really good feedback.
Yes. Yeah. No, but how do you face those challenges, because you've been doing this now for a few years in a challenging time? And are there different creative ways that you're looking at the industry right now through all of this?
Yeah. Well, we started this company in top of 2021 in the middle of a global pandemic, which was a crazy time to start an entertainment company in the first place. And it's really, you know, been this thing where, I mean, almost feels like every, you know, 6 months, maybe 3 months, we're kind of in a brand new industry. And so I think that we're very lucky in that we have this incredible all-female team, and we're nimble and we're ambitious. And so we've just kind of been able to, you know, put our heads together and get creative about kind of adapting to the times.
Yeah, in some ways we're lucky because we're so young. We are able to adapt. We're not, you know, stuck in our ways. We're like, oh, okay, this is throughout, like a strike came. Okay, we have to figure this out. And so it's kind of nice. I think some of my friends who are a little deeper in companies or have had more established kind of basis, I think they have a harder time because they're just like, no, this is the way it's always been. And it's like, well, yeah, it used to be, but it's just changing. So,
and at the end of the day, Pinky Promise is, you know, still a startup. And so we definitely take that kind of startup approach to how we're tackling these problems and keeping it creative and moving quick.
And I will say one way to do it is work with really, really cool people.
Yeah, that's the special sauce.
If you work with people you actually really like and want to work with, it makes work very easy and very lovely, especially in a horrible time where it's so hard to get things off the ground. It's so hard to make movies. If you just keep doing it with friends, then eventually when you win, you're like winning with all the people you wanted to do it with.
So. I mean, I'd argue that that's kind of like our number one thing at Pinky Promise is really just the people that we're working with. Yeah.
Oh, Maybe that's why we've lasted so long.
Exactly.
That's why we're still here.
Yeah, right? Yeah, you know the gig.
It's such a good point, though, being born of chaos. It just makes you used to molding to the times. So it's sort of a hand up, not a hand down.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
It's kind of a wonderful gift to be given. It's like, we were never successful enough before to taste the sweet thing that was before the pandemic. So now we're able to be like, okay, well, this doesn't work. Like, let's change.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun to see, we know so many, you know, legends of the industry and are friends with them and take advice from them. And so many of them will tell us constantly, they're like, I don't know how to retrain my brain. I don't know how to like get out of the thing that used to work 10 years ago. I don't know how to get out of the thing that worked 20 years ago. And it's fun to be like, what if you just like threw distribution out, or like, whatever. We're just like crazy and kind of try to think of as many ways as we can, you know, get our movies out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, deconstruct. Why not?
Well, that's another question I have for you is, clearly you're picking fun projects that we love so far, but how do you even pick which projects you want to take on? Because from what we're hearing, everybody has stories for these independent films and just can't find the resources.
Well, Pinky Promise is relatively unique in the way that we are structured and how we finance things. And so we really are this kind of like venture model fund that we use to finance many projects in this kind of, you know, portfolio style method, the way that a traditional VC would.
So you basically have multiple projects that take out of the same pool of money.
Yeah.
And so if one wins, then the whole fund kind of makes the money back. And if one loses, then hopefully the one that won makes up for it. So
exactly. And, and in that vein, we take a very kind of disciplined approach to how we select these projects. And so we have this kind of, you know, internal, you know, mechanism for deciding that we talk a lot about called the four P's.
And so one of them, so the first one is always progress. Is it something that is not getting made? Is it female? Is it queer? Is it person of color? Is it something that's not happening? Profit, because we are business and we want to keep making movies.
For as long as we can.
Prestige, does it have a voice? And not prestige in a way that's like, we have to go to Sundance. It's like,
it's got to have that cultural impact and stick in the zeitgeist.
It has to have an artist at the helm of it. You know, it has to have someone who really wants to say something. And then the final one
is partners, who do we work with.
Yeah,
good you can people. You can have the other three and be, you know, sitting pretty. And then if you're working with people that you just don't click with, it can
what was it all worth? Why did you do it?
Life's too short.
I feel like that's how we unofficially choose our stuff. Anyways, you guys are giving us a lot.
You're pinky girls now.
Yeah. Pinky girls. I was hoping that's what
pink
the
lady.
Yeah.
When do I start?
I mean, the only thing the only thing is the profit, but we're still working on that.
Yeah. I mean, but you know, it's priceless what we have.
Priceless.
That's so good. We're all on the same page.
I love that. This is too much. I do want to just talk about quickly women in the industry. How's that going?
We're here. We're so much of the industry.
You know,
I'm a woman. I'm in the industry.
I'm a woman. We are all women. We are all
company is women. Not purposefully. There's no offense to men. We love them.
No, men are
offend.
They're fine.
No,
they're doing fine.
We're six pink ladies strong.
I think women, we have to work harder, we have to be smarter, we have to be more polite. The more polite one is really the funny one to me. You know, there are things that you say that I'm like, oh, if a guy said it, no one would even blink twice. They'd be like, what a cool guy. But if a woman said it, it's like, she's tough, or whatever the word
or
that
a bitch.
Is.
Or a bitch.
And so I think it's an interesting game. I had a producer really early on tell me, a mentor, we were talking about something, and this producer was like, I think I said to her, I was like, I'll never use my femaleness, you know, to get far. I'll never try to like use it as a crutch. And she was like, use it. It's all you have. They have so much against you. She was like, use everything you have about being a woman that you're proud of to like get as far ahead as you can, because everyone else is using their thing. And I do, like, I love being a woman, and I love telling people how cool it is to work with women. Mm-hmm. And when they make it feel like a funny hobby. Like, there's a lot of people who will call being like, we just want to work with you because we hear you guys are cool women. And we're like, also just like great producers. Isn't that interesting?
Also,
and
we're good at our jobs.
And your project doesn't have to have a woman on it. It's just a producer.
Yeah.
I mean, here's what I'll say. I feel like there's, you know, in the past few years, this has really been the center of kind of the discourse in the industry. And I, you know, we, the pendulum kind of swings, you know, both ways. And for a while there, I feel like there was a lot of kind of commitment to the type of progress that we were all hoping for. I'm not sure that that's had necessarily the lasting power that we would have hoped, but I do think that the people that do care about it are doubling and tripling down. Like every woman that I know in this industry, every person that, you know, is like, is passionate about, you know, just like representation, is the people that really care are doubling and tripling down because they know that there's been a lot of stuff that's been, kind of over promised and under delivered. And so I think it feels, you know, particularly vital. And so, yeah, I mean, I put us in that camp, where we're doubling down on women.
Jesse always says, the people are like, what's the pinky thing? Like, what are you guys looking for? And Jesse goes, we're by the girls for the girls. Yeah. And I love it.
And anyone, and when I say that, you know, anyone can be a pinky girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, anybody, but you have to be like, you have to be a pinky girl, like in your heart.
Well, happy International Women's Day, bitches.
Yeah.
Yes! I mean, that's get right. it. Thank that's you for this. Month. We want to have you back on for everything you do, please.
Yeah, oh, my God, we love that.
Yes, so we've been speaking with producers and our newest best friends, Jesse and Kara, from I Don't Understand You. Watch the movie, have some fun, and carry on.
Thank you.
Thank you, Erin. Thank you, Angela. And this is we're so grateful that you guys, you know, create space to have conversations like this. So thanks for all you do.
Thank you.
Same.
Yeah.
Yay.
Hey, Bitch Talkers. Before we continue with our next interview, we want to remind all of our Bay Area listeners that there's an exciting opportunity to be part of history. The first ever POC Food and Wine Festival is happening Thursday, May 2nd through Sunday, May 5th. It's a celebration of the global majority and their allies in food, wine, music, and culture. There are events happening both in San Francisco and Berkeley, so you don't even have to cross the bridge if you don't want to. And because of their commitment to accessibility, sliding scale ticket options are also available until this Friday, April 26. So what are you waiting for? Head to pocfoodandwine.com to buy tickets or click on the link in our show notes. And we look forward to seeing you there.
Hey, Bitch Talkers, we are at South by Southwest 2024. We are at the red carpet for I Don't Understand You. We are speaking with director and screenwriters Brian Crano, David Craig. We're speaking with actors Nick Kroll, Andrew Rannells, Morgan Spector, and Alorna Romandini.
I mean, you tried, but she says it a lot better.
She does say it a lot better.
Anyway,
I really tried.
This has been really fun. The air conditioning is pumping on my perimenopausal ass, so I'm having a great time, and it's time to get to the interviews.
So first of all, can you introduce who you are to our audience?
Sure. My name's Brian Crano. I'm one of the directors of the movie, and this is my husband.
David Craig. I am also a director of the film.
I want to ask first, this is loosely based on a true story about your adoption story, but how did it wind up a murder / love / family story?
Well, we wanted to write a love letter to our son, and we're kind of have fucked up influences as filmmakers, and... you know, we thought like our fear about becoming parents would translate very well into a horror film because it's scary and funny and weird all at the same time.
I don't think people get to talk about an adverse way of getting a child and how you can actually have an emotional attachment to losing one. When it's not a natural birth, and I think that was something that we reckoned with in our own personal experience that allowed us to create something that was more about sadness than just happiness around having a kid.
Also, you know, a lot of adoption stories are about how the mother who gives up their child is not a great character, and for us, she's like both the hero of our lives and the hero of the movie, and that was really important to center. For us was to make sure that character was given so much respect and is the hero of the film, you know, so that's great.
So knowing that this film is loosely based on your real life, are you worried that after it comes out internationally, you won't be allowed into Italy again?
I'm a citizen. They're stuck with me.
They will let him and my kid in. I don't know if they'll let me in, but they'll definitely let him in.
Yeah, the two of us, and they're like, oh, you're his friend.
It was interesting because like all of those new laws started to go into effect literally,
right,
I think,
a month after
we wrapped. And so it does feel like an appropriate place to place this film.
Yeah.
My last question, we'll wrap it up. Has your son seen the film? I'm guessing no, but are you ready for his reaction once he sees it? And what kind of therapy are you going to have to give him after?
probably no more than we were going to have to do already.
He loves drag queens and soccer, so he's like a happy boy.
Yeah. He's seen his part.
Yeah. And our dear friend is in the film, Amanda Seyfried, and he knows her as a movie star, and he walks around town now going, I'm a movie star.
So he's ruined, basically. We've literally broken him.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
We really loved it.
It was a lot of fun.
Hilarious.
Yes.
Thank you. Welcome.
How are you, Andrew?
Welcome. Hi.
Oh, yes, multiple.
Three now.
Three bitches. Can you introduce yourself to our audience and the role that you play in the film?
I'm Andrew Rannells, and I play Cole in I Don't Understand You, premiering here at South by Southwest.
Or Cool, as we know you.
Oh, have you already seen the film?
Yes.
Okay.
We know too much.
What did you watch it on? A phone or a computer or?
Computers.
Yes.
Same. Oh, okay. Okay.
I've not seen it on a big screen.
Oh, it's going to be even better. Absolutely. Well, I'm curious to know how you and Nick got your bond, how you bonded prior to the film.
Well, luckily, we were already friends. We had been friends for many years before this, and we worked on Nick, you know, dragged me into Big Mouth, which I
was
very grateful for. But we don't really get to work together that much, you know, because it's an animated show. So this was a pretty amazing opportunity that when Brian and David said, do you guys want to, you know, come to Rome with us and do this movie? It was like, yeah, I want to go to Rome with a good friend of mine and shoot a movie. And even if it's about, you know, at its core, it is a movie about a couple who is very much in love, who is trying to start a family, and the lengths that they go to.
That could happen to anyone. Let's be honest. Internationally, or here.
Okay, but you know what is terrifying? Is it kind of, not that it could all happen to anyone, but one of those things might happen. The first one might happen.
Just by accident.
You know what I mean? It starts off innocent enough. It's just an accident.
Old people in stairs are always scary.
Yes!
Which leads me to my next question. And we'll wrap so
have
other
I ever
people can ask
down
you.
Down
no, no,
stairs?
No, no. But that scene is fucking hilarious.
Oh, hello. Was she?
And yes, but you doing the physicality in the kitchen. I did it the other night at a dive bar in Dallas.
You did? Yes. She strained her back.
I did.
So.
I hurt myself. But I want to ask you about the physicality of that role. And were you channeling like Kramer, Lucille Ball, yourself?
Oh, of that, I don't know. It was so overwhelming, and it all happened so quickly. I'd love to tell you that I, like, really crafted my performance. But I think I was just trying to be, you know, I don't want to say as realistic as possible, but if I was going to knock an old woman down the stairs accidentally, how would it happen?
It was hilarious.
It was
very memorable.
A little too realistic. But anyway, thank you.
We'll see
you. Thank you, Andrew. Oh.
We loved it. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Oh, Massimo. Welcome.
Yes.
Why is it called Bitch Talk?
Why isn't it called?
Yeah.
I mean, it should be. I'm glad it is. Thank Big you. Clit energy. It's fucking
because happy. This is a free space. It's an open space
happy
for you to be
yourself.
Happy
International Women's Day.
Yeah. Yeah, tight. It's great.
We also don't believe in buttons, so well done.
Yeah
I don't either. Apparently, I don't. Trampy shit I get put in. Sorry.
For our audience, can you introduce who you are, well, your name, and who you are in the film?
My name is Morgan Spector, and I play Massimo, and I Don't Understand You.
So, was it more fun to be stabbed by Andrew or by Nick?
Andrew's a little more gentle. Like, he sticks it in with a certain amount of concern. Nick just plunges that shit in. He just, like...
I can see that.
Drives it to the hilt.
No lube.
No lube at all.
Speaking of lube, have you ever had a horse sausage?
I never have. Unfortunately, wasn't born with that.
Okay, what attracted you to this role?
It was written and was directed by two of my favorite people in the world, Brian and David, who are longtime friends of mine. So that was the main draw. But also, I loved the material, I loved the script, and I was really flattered that they asked me because, you're a Giants fan, tight.
We're from the Bay.
From San Francisco.
Oh, what? I grew up in Guerneville. I'm from Sonoma County. No wonder you're big Clay.
That's why we get each other.
Sense. All right, great. I was excited because I was playing an Italian character and there were real Italians in the movie. So that just felt like a serious challenge to try to like be plausible in that environment.
Well, thank you so much. Thank we love the film and congratulations. Yeah, cheers. We are Bitch Talk, so welcome.
Thank you.
Can you tell our audience your name and the role that you play in the film?
Eleonora Romandini, and I play Francesca.
Oh, can you say that again? It's like a song.
Eleonora Romandini, and I play Francesca.
Ooh, thank you. Okay, so what attracted you to play this character?
When I got the first scenes, I was starstruck because it was very funny, hilarious, and I knew that Andrew and Nick were going to be there, and I thought, wow, this is a great project. And then I got the script when I got the role, and I was very excited because it's so hilarious, so fun, and yeah, everything about it. It's very different. I think it's a very different movie. I haven't seen it yet, so I'm going to see it with you.
You're in for a treat.
Yeah, but I read the script and I saw what they did on set, so I can say that.
So let's be honest. You're a true Italian, and we already had Mark on. We know Mark's from Guerneville, California. How do you rate his Italian accent on a 1 to 10? We thought it was pretty good.
I think so. I haven't heard it because we're not in the scene together where he's. Yeah, but I know he worked a lot on the dialect and with the dialect coach, so I think it's going to be great.
We're gonna have to have you back on to follow up then.
Yeah, we need
the professional.
From you.
Terrible.
Well, I was just blinded by the good looks and the hair, so I was like, he's perfect. And then we see him today, and he's from Guerneville. So
he's anyway. He always is.
He did a great job.
Yeah.
And so did you.
And so did you. The film is really fun. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. I will see you.
thank you
so much.
Of course. You have to be on Bitch Talk on International Women's Day.
Bitch Talk. Am I allowed to say it? I'm allowed to say it if it's the name, but right?
Louder.
Is it an International Women's Day? Nice.
No, amazing. We're bitches every day of the year, not just on International.
You gotta be. You gotta be legit. You gotta follow through, and I think you guys are doing it.
Well, we have to make this official. Can you please introduce our audience to who you are and what your role is in the film?
My name is Nick Kroll, number one bitch. I play Cole. No, he plays Cole. I play Dom. From the beginning, he's cool. That's right. He's cool, and I'm a sub, and I play Dom. I play Dom. I'm married to Andrew Rannells, character Cole in the movie, and we're married. We go on a vacation to Italy, sort of a bit to like kind of frankly salvage our marriage, and then some insanity ensues.
So was that pizza as good as it looked? Because we were, despite what we were watching, it looked delicious.
Did it look delicious? It wasn't. It was fine, but like when you're shooting these things, like you're on set and like, you know, those scenes take place over like, it's weird. You shoot like a 10-minute segment and you're like, oh, that took like 8 days in bits and pieces to shoot. And you're like, you're back with the pizza and you're like, have they gotten new pizzas or are we shooting with the same pizzas from like 4 days ago? And sometimes it was a new pizza and sometimes it was not a new pizza. But I'm glad it looked delicious.
You're a hell of an actor.
Thank
you sold
you.
It.
I'm glad to hear that. I was glad to hear that.
Award-winning.
I'm an award-winning food eater.
Correct.
on camera.
Yes.
I'm glad to hear we sold the pizza. That's amazing.
No, but this story it's a love story, but it's also a little bit murder mystery, but also it's hilarious. I mean, when you got the script, you're like, hell yeah, or like, I need to talk about this first.
I mean, it was like, I knew Andrew. The first thing that came in was like, you'd play opposite Andrew Rannells, so that was an immediate like, yes. and I've known David a bit for I've known David he having worked with Joel Edgerton, who I have worked with, and so I knew him a bit socially and knew his tastes were good, and I'm meeting Brian and David together, knowing that this story for them was really a personal story, that it was really a beautiful story about, like, talking about the lengths that a couple will go to get their baby. And then, so it worked for me on all levels, where I was like, oh, this is really funny, and this is kind of thrilling and a little scary and also really silly, and that it was also came from a really personal place, like felt like it kind of exactly the kind of thing that I'm drawn to, and it delivered in that way, where I was like, oh, this will be a lot of fun and also, you know, have a lot of levels to it, hopefully.
So much fun to watch. Thank you.
Oh, we loved it. Yes. Great. One more question. Are you more likely to adopt a child or knock an old lady down the stairs?
I have two children, so now I have no choice but to just knock a couple old ladies down the stairs. My decision was made for me.
Don't look at us.
Yeah.
Don't knock us.
Well, I don't see old ladies. I see a couple bitches.
You can't see the hairs.
Duh.
I see a couple bitches with that big clit energy.
That's right.
Oh, get it, Nick Kroll.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on today's show. You can find more information about this episode in our show notes.
If you're missing us, you can visit us at bitchtalkpodcast.com to sign up for our newsletter and buy us a cup of coffee.
Did you know we're also on the radio? You can find us at bff.fm.
And lastly, rate and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. All the cool bitches are doing it.
This podcast is a proud member of the BFF.fm podcast network. Learn more at podcasts.bff.fm.
BFF.fm, best frequencies forever.